What we're looking at is a true perspective about money. A true perspective about money. Now, last week, what we said was that, look, as Christians, we need to have God's perspective about money. Because if we don't, money has it has an interesting ability to control our lives. Maybe even in the ways that we don't even think about. And if you look around you, so many things are happening now. You've got the economy, you've got Brexit, you've got all these things. And people are just saying, what is going to happen to my business? What's going to happen to me? Am I going to be able to do X, Y, and Z? If you link that through, you come to the realization that it comes down to money, to be honest, in terms of how you're going to live, so on and so forth. So last week, we looked at a number of things. We looked at a number of things about God's perspective on money. We said money can cause us to worry. And that was Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. We said money can become one's master. And we looked at that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. So on and so forth. So we looked at the fact that money has a big impact on our lives, even as Christians, even if we don't really realize it. Do you get what I mean? Then we looked at the perspective that we should have as God's people, so that we understand the place that money has in our lives and how we master it, so that it doesn't cause us to worry, it doesn't cause us to make choices that are not really God's optimal for us. So today I'm going to be looking at the second part, which is God's perspective on money. And I'll try and just blaze through a number of things as we go through today. Now, so what I want to try and do is just to answer some of the questions that we have about money. Why do we as a church, how do we look at money and, finances and all that? So that's what we want to look at today. So the first thing is this. How does God finance his church? When I mean how does God finance his church? In terms of what I'll call the administrative part of the church. So for example, a church pays for a building, they pay for their rent, their electricity, so on and so forth. How does God want us to finance this? Now, if we look at Exodus chapter 35, verse 4 to 9. Exodus chapter 35, verse 4 to 5. How does God finance the things that he wants to do? So this says, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what God has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, yarn, fine linen, goat hair, ram skin. Now, if you read on to verse 9, this is when God tells Moses to collect an offering from the people so that they could build the tent in the wilderness when Israel had just left Egypt. So we see here that God finances his activities on earth here through the church. God doesn't go to the bank or go to UNESCO to get funds for what he wants to do. The primary way that God does his things is through his people. And we see that in the case of the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 35, that they did that. Now, so someone can say that's the Old Testament. Now, there are quite a number of examples in the New Testament as well. And I'll just refer to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. Paul collected offerings from the Galatian and the Corinthian church to finance another church. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you don't have to turn there, verse 1 to 4. He, again, took offerings from the Macedonian church for another church. If you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 25 to 26, again, from the Macedonian church and the church in Asia. So we see here that even in the New Testament, Paul would, say, okay, this church needs money. Can you guys, do a collection? He would transport it to the other church. They didn't have fast payment or bank accounts in those days. So what I'm just trying to answer today is just to go through why, from a logical and from a clear perspective, what the church does with money, how the church gets money, why the church, do you understand what I mean? So we see here that that's God's pattern of financing all the things that he does. It's primarily through his people. Primarily. So the second thing is this. Why do we give as believers? So if someone came to ask you, you Christian people, you guys are saying, you know, we should, you know, give this, give that. Why do you guys even give money at all in church or during your meetings? Well, I'll give us some of those reasons. Now, we need to realize is this. I'll mention three things here. This one alludes to the first one that we looked at, that primarily the reason, one of the reasons why we give is because that is how God finances his activities. So if you look at Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, it says, Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 A. So it says, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. So I'm going to stop there. So what we're looking at here is the fact that one of the reasons why we give in church is so that, you know, we can do, the church can do what it needs to do. For example, we're here, we're sat on nice, comfortable chairs, there's air conditioning, there's all that. These things, they're not done to us out of the goodness of the heart of the hotel. Do you get what I mean? They haven't just said, you know, guys, just come and we love you so much, just have this for free. No, it doesn't happen like that. So God says here in this instance, so that there might be food in my house, so that there can be provision in his house. So we give logically so that we can do all these things, so that we can, in this modern world, print flyers, so on and so forth. So that's one of the reasons why we give. Now, the other reason why we also give is, look, is in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 44 to 45. So apart from the administrative things that the church does, we also give to help one another. So if you look at Acts chapter 2 verse 44 to 45, Acts chapter 2 verse 44 to 45, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions and to give to anyone who had need. Now, we're not saying, I'm not saying here we should sell all our properties and possessions, so let me put a PS out there. But this is just showing the heart of the church then. The heart of the church was that, you know what, everybody that comes to church, we're brothers and sisters and we provide for one another. So what that means is that apart from giving to do all those things that we do in church, we also want to help one another so that if, for example, someone has a need, they're going through a rough patch, we're there to help. Do you understand what I mean? So that's one thing. Now, the other thing as well, why we give as, you know, believers is, if you look at Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, Jesus says something there. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The third reason why we give as believers is so that we can help our community. Now, if you look around even in England here, do you know that most of the hospitals, I think it was after the Second World War, was built by churches? Yeah, a lot. If you look around you, there are loads of schools and they call them Church of England schools. The church built schools to educate people. That's in England. Now, if you go to Africa, like the part of Africa that I come from originally, there are loads of schools there, all built by the church. You have like the Baptist, you have the this, you have that. You have hospitals built by the church. Do you understand? So what I'm saying here is this. God wants us to really understand why we give. So it's not just, and I'll come to that in a minute. Let's not be, I'll save that for later. So we give to make sure we can do what we need to do in church. We give one another. We help one another with our giving. And again, to help the community as well. And for the community one, so that when people go to these schools in those days, or they go to, you know, people go to the hospitals. Well, in those days, it's a bit different now. They will treat them and they'll be like, why are you guys doing this? And there'll be, you know, that's what God has said we should do. Again, letting our lights shine. Do you understand? So what I'm just trying to do today is just to give us, these are things that I believe we probably know, but I just want to put them in perspective. So I've said God funds his, you know, his church projects and activities through his people. We've looked at why do we give. So the next question now comes up. How much do we give? Now, this is a tricky one. Now, if we look at Malachi chapter 3 verse 8, the first part, what do we give? What do we give? So in terms of what we give in church our tithes and our offering. Now, what's a tithe? A tithe is 10% of what we earn, and offerings as well. So that's what I wanted to point out there. Now, some people will say, you know what, this is like, oh, come on, man, this is like Old Testament, we're in the New Testament, so on and so forth. No problem. If you look at Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was scolding the Pharisees then. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And what he told them was this. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Now, he says, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. Now, Jesus now says, you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So Jesus was telling them that here, you guys, you tithe, you do all those things, but you're not doing it in the right context. You've neglected other things like law, justice. He now says, what you guys should be doing is the earlier part, which is tithing as you do, but not neglecting the other as well. So what I'm just saying here is that this is not Old Testament or New Testament. It is God Testament. That's what God says we should do. Now, the other thing as well, in terms of not just giving to the church here, if we look at James chapter 2, we don't have to turn there. James chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. And you also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God also says that apart from, you know, giving a tithe and an offering in church, we should also give to one another. We should help one another. Now, James chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. James was saying there that if a brother or a sister comes to you and they are in need, that it is not just good enough for us to say, you know what, sister, brother, God bless you. The Lord fill you. Go and be, do you understand? Go and be well. And they're hungry. They haven't eaten in a couple of days. And you have the ability to help them. The Bible is telling us here that apart from, you know, giving to the church activities that we do, we should also have the heart to help one another as well. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? I'm just saying that God wants us to be quite open in terms of what we do. He wants us to be open to give. He wants us to be open to contribute to the life of the church. Do you understand? And our own individual lives as well. So looking at how much we give, so that's what the Bible says as well. Now, the fourth thing I'm looking at today is this. What should our perspective be in terms of how we give? You know what? You know when you get your salary, if like you're employed, or even if you're self-employed, and you pay yourself, and you look at your pay slip sometimes, if you haven't started working, you're still quite young, don't worry, you'll get there in the near future. You know what normally happens is this. You look at your pay slip and you've got like a total amount. So let's say you earn every month like £100, for example. You now go down a few steps through your pay slip. You now realize that, hang on, out of this £100, what's coming to you is £70. Where's the rest? The government has taken it. And you're like, my goodness, why does the government have to take so much money from me? I would rather, you know. So that's the attitude we have. Well, we're not too happy to, you know, for the government to take so much money from us. But when it comes to God, God doesn't want us to have that kind of a similar attitude as well. Whereas like, you know what, God, okay, you said we should give this amount. There you go. No, he doesn't want us to have that perspective about giving when it comes to, you know, when it comes to God. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It says something there that should really resonate with our hearts. It says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So, and so he confirms his covenant, which he swore to his ancestors as it is today." So when we give to God, we want to give because we realize that, you know what, it's God that gives us the ability to give. So it's for example, when I was much younger, we had this uncle, and every time it was my birthday or our birthday, we knew the uncles to go to because we knew that, you know, we would get like a really big gift. And we would go to him and he would really give us like, not that that was all that was in our mind at that time anyway. And he was so generous to us. Now, can you imagine if, for example, this uncle that over the past 20 or so years, every year, you know, like really showering us with gifts, so on and so forth. One day, he sends me a text message saying, you know what, Pastor Benson, I have a friend in England there. I can't really, you know, go to him at the moment because I'm a bit tied down. Can you just give him £5 on my behalf? How would it seem if I now sent a text back to that my uncle and I said, Uncle, you know, I'm not quite sure. I mean, can't you find somebody else to give that person that £5? Can't you just, you know, locate another, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, give him like a long list of things what I can do. And it's just like £5. And after I finish, you know, sending that text back to him, and I go, whoa, that was a long text message. Can you imagine? My uncle wanted me to give him £5. And straight away, you see an ice cream truck. And you see this nice, massive ice cream, and it's £5.30. And you whip out that £5, you rush to that ice cream truck. That was nice. So I guess the analogy I'm trying to make here is this. When God provides for us and he says, you know what, for my church, this is what I would like you to do. He doesn't want us to do it grudgingly. He wants us to say, you know what, God, thank you that I know that you're the one that provides for me anyway. And I'm going to be joyful as I do this. Do you understand what I mean? So that's the perspective that God wants us to have. A heart that knows that whatever we have really is God that has given this thing to us. And when he asks us to give, then, you know, we do that joyfully, not out of compulsion at all. Now, I'll go to the fifth one. And this one is like the real sticker for a lot of people. So the fifth thing is this. Why is it that people, or why is it that it's slightly challenging sometimes to give? Now, the one reason that I see, well, not that I see, that that's prevalent. And to be honest, I don't blame people for having that slight concern. The first thing I see is that people have suspicion when it comes to giving to the church. And one of the main reasons is if you switch on your television sometimes and you're on Sky and you go to certain channels, you see some preachers there who will say, and not, you know, not knocking them now, who will say, you know what, I want you to give this amount. And when you give this amount, God will bless you. If you give this amount, sow this seed and this will happen. And you see people who literally manipulate us as Christians and just do all sorts of schemes. And you're like, you know, come on. Is this what God really says we should do? Sometimes, you know, you see a preacher. Again, I'm a preacher myself and I'm going to come to that in a minute. And you're like, you know, the preacher says, you know what, guys, I need to buy a really quick aeroplane. And that aeroplane is going to cost me £100 million. I want you to contribute to this. And you're like, hang on, I don't even have money to pay my rent. And you're asking me to contribute to your £100 million. So people become suspicious. And it's like, you know what, the church is spending the money we give irresponsibly sometimes. And people are like, you know what, I'll hang on to my cash in this instance. So there's the suspicion. and it's well deserved. Now, I just want to put PS here, just for anyone that will be listening to the tape or this thing. I'm not saying this because I want you guys to give me money. You know what I mean? So let's get that straight. Now, you guys, I think I've mentioned it before. For this church, the same way that you guys, you know, pay your tithe, that's the same way I pay mine. I don't get a salary from the church. I don't get a stipend from the church. I don't get expenses from the church. Do you understand? So I'm saying this because this is what I do as well. So the same way you guys go out to work or so on and so forth, that's the same way I do. The same way that we, you know, buy stuff for people and do things for the church, that's exactly the same thing I do. The same way I say to us that, you know what, let it not be that every single month you spend all the money you make just on yourself. On yourself, nobody else. Try not to do that. Let's look for somebody else to bless. Let's look for someone else to buy something for in the church. Let's look for somebody else to treat. Do you understand? So that it's not like all the money we get is just, you know what, let me just sort myself out. Yeah, sort yourself out, which is great, but let's have the heart that we want to bless one another. Do you understand? So that's the PS I'm putting out there, that the same way you guys do, that's the same way I do. Do you understand what I mean? So I just want us to like really, really get that, you know, get that understanding as well for us. Now, another reason why maybe people might not give or find it a bit challenging is like, you tell someone to give 10% of their income, and it's like, hang on, pastor, when the government removes their own, and I give 10% to the church, how will I survive? That math doesn't really work. Do you get what I mean? That math doesn't balance at all. And you know what? You're saying, God, you understand that this is how the matter is. Let me just, you know, just, I think there's some other people that can give as well. Just let me have a miss on this one. Do you get what I mean? And to be honest, that's a logical way of thinking. You know, I used to be an accountant before, so forever in our own house, we have like a spreadsheet. I have several spreadsheets. At the beginning of every month, I'll just look at it, see, okay, these are all the things that I need to spend. You know, this person wants this, this person needs that. Has it balanced? And at the end, I have like, if it hasn't balanced, there's a minus sign. You know, minus, you know, that means that, man, you're spending more. And each time I look at that spreadsheet and it's like minus, I'm like, oh man, what do I take out from this thing? Do I take out this? Do I take out this? Do you understand? So sometimes it's like that for us. I mean, I remember a time in our lives as a family, some years ago, we made some really bad financial investment. And for a period of about 3 to 4 years, our accounts never balanced. God, you know, told us not to do that thing that time, but we wanted to invest for about 3-4 years. I mean, it got to the point that then we would have visits from our mortgage company to say, hello, Mr. Benson, it appears that your mortgage has not balanced for a while. Invite them in, sit down. Do you want tea or coffee? I mean, can you imagine that kind of thing? Having those kind of visits, you know, I'm calling the creditors and saying, you know what, we're going to pay, just relax, so on and so forth. So I became a financial negotiator. Yeah, for 3-4 years. And in those years, I could have just said, God, understand, please. You know, this is like really, really bad. And I could have looked at my spreadsheet and said, food, remove food. Okay, you can't remove food. Family has to eat. We'll leave the food there. You're laughing. That's how it was. Food, okay, let's leave food there. We understand we have to eat. Extra going out, cancelled. Shoes, okay, the kids have to have shoes. We let them. Me, cancelled. Cancel everything. And I'll go up to the beginning of the list. Tithe, tithe, tithe. God, you know, this, you know, you need to really understand that these people are knocking at the door. You know, Do I press delete on that button? No. No, you don't press delete on that button. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because whatever situation that any of us have been through that is financially challenging, God still wants us to really depend on Him. Do you guys get what I mean? He really wants us to depend on Him. Now, I'm just going to end on the last point. So I think I've gone through a lot this morning. I've gone through how does God finance his church? Why do we give as believers? How much should we give? What should our perspective be? What are some of the reasons that maybe it's slightly challenging for us not to give? We've looked at the fact that God wants us to give with a really open and grateful heart. Now, the seventh thing we want to look at is this, and I'm going to close here. Now, one thing that you guys will realize that we do not do as a church, well, is this. And I personally, when it comes to the issue of giving, tithe, offering, and all these things, I don't go on either direction. What do I mean by that? This is me personally. The left side is this. I could say, you know what? If you give your tithe and offering, you know, and all that, God will bless you. That's one part, one side. All right? Suppose that. The other side that I could go to, or that, you know, people might go to, is if you don't give, this is what will happen to you. You know, you'll be punished, you'll be, and all that. I don't go there either. Now, the reason is this. If we give with the motivation that we want God to give us back, I don't think it's acceptable to God. In that instance, we are now viewing God as as an investment machine. Put in £10 and God will give you £20 back. I mean, if we look at God as a person, how would it be if my son came to me and said, "Dad, you know what? I'm going to give you £10 now and I'm believing that in 2 months it's going to be £50. I mean, come on. Do you understand? So I don't go there. I don't go to the part that you give and God will give you back. No, I don't even go there at all, because God is not a jackpot machine. He's a person that has feelings. I'm telling you. Neither am I going to go to the other part that says, if you don't give, God is going to do this to you. No. Because if you give with that motivation as well, you're giving as using God as a safety insurance policy so that you don't get, you know, whipped, or you don't get this thing. So I believe to the left or to the right, we shouldn't go there. Do you know what we should do? I believe we should go in the middle, which is this, which is a New Testament, I believe, way of giving. Which is, you know what? I'm going to give because I love God. Finish. That's it. I'm going to give because God says we need to do this, we need to do this. And that's why I'm going to give. I'm not going to give because, oh, you know, God. No. I'm not going to go to the left. Neither am I going to go to the right. Do you understand what I mean? That's the way I give. Do you understand? So why am I saying this to this today? I'm saying this today because I believe that it's good that we understand why we give and why we should give. And I believe that God's heart is not for us to give out of a place of fear, neither from a place of wanting to double our investment, so to speak. But we give because God loves us so much. He gave us His Son. He has done so much for us. So I think the least we can do is whatever pertains to God, whatever pertains to us as a family, that we just be open about it. Do you get what I mean? So I'm going to stop there today. And that wraps up our perspective on money. If you want to listen to last week's messages on our website. So that's where I want to close today. I didn't go through a lot of these things in detail, but I think we get the message. So the message is this. We're not giving because We don't want to manipulate ourselves to give and, you know, say, oh, if you give, this will happen. No, 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 we don't want to do that. Neither do we want to say, if you don't, this will happen. No, we don't want to do that. We want to do that. We want to just give because God says we should. And to be honest, that's how we pay for everything that we use. Do you get me? You guys get me? I mean, that's fair, isn't it? It's fair. Yeah. So that's where I'm going to stop today. Next week, we'll switch to something else. Well, I just want us to just rise up and pray this morning.